It had embedded itself in the wood very deeply, almost splitting the table along its entire length. Someone had walked up to the table and brought an axe down right in the centre as hard as they could, and then left it there, its handle pointing towards the ceiling. "That's an axe," said Vimes. "Astonishing," said Lord Vetinari, "and you've barely had time to study it. Why is it there?"
"I really couldn't say, sir."
"According to the servants, Sir Samuel, you came into the palace at 6 o'clock this morning."
"Oh, yes, sir, to check that the bastard was safely in a cell, sir, and to see that everything was all right, of course."
"You didn't come into this room?" Vimes kept his gaze fixed somewhere on the horizon.
"Why should I have done that, sir?"
The patrician tapped the axe handle. It vibrated with a faint thumping noise. "I believe some of the city council met in here this morning, or came in here at least. I'm told they hurried out very quickly, looking rather disturbed, I'm told."
"Maybe it was one of them that did it, sir."
"That is, of course, a possibility," said Lord Vetinari. "I suppose you wouldn't be able to find one of your famous clues on the thing?"
"Shouldn't think so, sir. Not with all these fingerprints on it."
"It would be a terrible thing, would it not, if people thought that they could take the law into their own hands?"
"Oh, no fear of that, sir. I'm holding on tightly to it."
Lord Vetinari plunked the axe again. "Tell me, Sir Samuel, do you know the phrase quis custodiet ipsos custodes?" It was an expression Carrot had occasionally used, but Vimes was not in the mood to admit anything.
"Can't say that I do, sir," he said. "Something about trifle, is it?"
"It means who guards the guards themselves, Sir Samuel."
"Ah.
Well, sir, who watches the watch, I wonder?"
"Oh, that's easy, sir. We watch one another."
"Really? An intriguing point." Lord Vetinari walked out of the room and back into the main hall, with Vimes trailing behind. "However," he said, "in order to keep the peace, the golem will have to be destroyed."
"No, sir."
"Allow me to repeat my instruction."
"No, sir."
"I'm sure I just gave you an order, Commander. I distinctly felt my lips move."
"No, sir. He's alive, sir."
"He's just made of clay, Vimes."
"Aren't we all, sir? According to them pamphlets Constable Visit keeps handing out. Anyway, he thinks he's alive, and that's good enough for me."
The patrician waved a hand towards the stairs and his office full of paper. "Nevertheless, Commander, I've had no less than 9 missives from leading religious figures declaring that he is an abomination."
"Yes, sir. I've given that viewpoint a lot of thought, sir, and reached the following conclusion. Arseholes to the lot of them, sir."
The patrician's hand covered his mouth for a moment.
"Sir Samuel, you are a harsh negotiator. Surely you can give and take?" "Couldn't say, sir."
Vimes walked to the main doors and pushed them open.
"Fog's lifted, sir," he said. "There's a bit of cloud, but you can see all the way across the brass bridge."
"What will you use the golem for?"
"Not use, sir. Employ. I thought it might be useful to keep the peace, sir."
"A watchman."
"Yes, sir," said Vimes. "Haven't you heard, sir? Golems do all the mucky jobs."
Vetinari watched him go and sighed.
"He does so like a dramatic exit," he said.
"Yes, my lord," said Drumknot, who had appeared noiselessly at his shoulder.
"Ah, Drumknot." The patrician took a length of candle out of his pocket and handed it to his secretary.
"Dispose of this somewhere safely, will you?"
"Yes, my lord."
"It's the candle from the other night."
"It's not burnt down, my lord, but I saw the candle end in the holder."
"Oh, of course. I cut off enough to make a stub and let the wick burn for a moment. I couldn't let our gallant policeman know I'd worked it out for myself, could I? not when he was making such an effort and having so much fun being, well, being Vimes. I'm not completely heartless, you know.
But my...